Luke chapter 9 this evening. I want to preach a message out of Luke chapter 9 and ask a question in my message this evening. And the question is this: do you have the power? Do you have the power? The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start reading there in verse number 37. And we'll read a little bit of this story here that's told. And Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 37, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." Verse 41. "And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." The power. Do you have the power? Jesus said here to his disciples, he said to them, you're faithless and a perverse generation. They could not cast out that devil. And then when Jesus cast the devil out, in verse 43, the Bible says that they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. What an amazing thing to see the mighty power of God. You know, you can see the power of God today. All you have to do is walk outside and look around and see what God has made. The mighty power of God. Let me say this about the power of God. The power of God is available. It is available. It's available to we that love the Lord, to we that know God. The power of God is available to us in our lives. We have up here on the platform, we have a little fan that's blowing air, because always on the platform, there's more lights, there's more heat, and the preacher's hotter than everybody else. Do you ever think why it's so cold in the auditorium? And you know, you see older ladies getting their shawl on, you know, covering up and get cold, because the pastor's hot up here, okay? It's warm up here. And so I have that at my church. I've got a fan right on the platform. Keep the air moving up here. You know something? You can get that nice fan, and you can buy that, bring it out of the box, set it up there and say it's really a unique looking. Look at this thing. Doesn't even look like a fan. It is blowing air though. I mean, it looks like I don't know. What does it look like? A post? You know, a decoration. There you go. It's funny how they're making fans today. I'm used to the thing going around. You know what I mean? But here it is, blowing air. You know, I don't care how nice they make it and everything. Unless you take that cord and plug it in, that thing's not going to work. You can push all the buttons. You can do everything you want to, but it's not going to work until you plug it in. Why? Because the power is down there. And you've got to plug it in. If you don't plug it in, you're not going to have the power. Let me tell you something, folks. The power of God is available, but we must get plugged in. You know what I'm saying? We must get, it's available. It's there. God has all the power. He's all powerful. But we must get plugged in to that power. Did the disciples have the power? Well, they were right there with Jesus Christ right there. And the power was available to them. But the disciples fell short. They were trusting in themselves instead of trusting in God. But they were learning. They were following Christ and they were learning about trusting Him and about following God. The people that were there standing around, they saw the power. When the disciples disappointed them. But then when Jesus came, and the Bible says that verse 43, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God when that young man was healed by the touch of the Lord Jesus. I want to just give you a simple illustration. Ben, come on up here. Come on up here, Ben. This is the pastor's boy. I remember when this boy was born. I mean, just a tiny little guy. And look at him walking. Come on up here. Right up here. Right up here. Come on up. He's buttoned up his suit. He wants to look sharp. Isn't that nice? Amen. I mean, look at him. He's taller than me now. I'm going to cut him down a little bit. You know what I mean? But, you know, 17. How many remember when they were 17? I don't even. It's been so long ago, I don't even remember, right? But nice to be 17. This boy, you know, big strapping boy, he's got some power. Go over and pick up that chair. Look at this. Look at that, just with ease. Can you believe that? What power, right? Hey, listen, you know, most Christians, pick up that chair. I didn't tell you to set it down. He's not very obedient, but he's a good boy. Okay, hold that chair. Look at that chair. Hold that chair. You know, that's not a strain for him. He can pick it up with ease. Do you know a lot of times, yeah, you can put it down now. Do you know a lot of times, but don't leave, stay right here. Do you know a lot of times what we try to do as Christians is just like picking up that chair. We can do that. No problem. Amen. We just do what we can do. We don't stretch ourselves beyond that. That was one of the problems with these disciples. They weren't trusting God by faith. Now, Ben, here's what I want you to do. Next thing. I want you to go over and pick up the piano. Yeah. I mean the whole thing. Put it over your head. Forget it. Forget it. Thank you, Ben. You can be seated. Give Ben a hand. Good job, Ben. You know something? If he would have walked over there and picked up that piano like he picked up the chair, you know what we'd all done? We'd all been, whoa. What did they empty the piano out or something? There's got to be something. You know, he said, wow, that would have been beyond his power. It would have been a miracle. I heard of a story a few years ago of a young man that was out with, I think it was his uncle. His uncle was working on a car. He had jacked the front of the car up and put some blocks under. He was under the car working on the car, and I think it was 17-year-old boy was out there and kind of trying to help, but he didn't know a lot about it. And the jack slipped, and the car came down. It didn't come down the whole way because the blocks caught it, but it crushed his uncle enough where he could not breathe. And was pushing it on his chest, and he was trying to yell out to that boy. And when that boy saw it, he went over and he grabbed the car, and he picked up the front of the car and got his uncle out. And you say, how did that happen? It was a miracle. It was beyond his power. That boy could go over there and struggle at picking up that car all day and not pick it up. But sometimes something happens. I don't know that we can explain it. And it does something beyond. Here's what the disciples, they were not trusting in the power that was available to them. You know, most Christians live their life in something that is available to us, easy. But what about the power of God in our lives? You see, they marveled when they were, and they were amazed when they saw the mighty power of God. Listen, in our society, in our world today, we need to see the power of God today. This world needs to see the power of God today. How do you get this power? What is this power all about? I want to take a few minutes and talk about that, but let me tell you something, what just recently has happened this past week. I don't know if some of you went over to St. Thomas and saw the Faithful Men's. Is that was called Faithful Men's. Any of the men go over there? I think a few men went over there for that. There's a quartet there singing, the Faith Men Quartet. They were singing, and one of the members is a preacher. After they left there in St. Thomas, they went to Simcoe. And went to Bethel Baptist Church and started a revival meeting. And they were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, preaching, singing. On Monday night, after the service, the preacher's boy, was under conviction and said to his dad, I need to go talk to that evangelist. It was 11 o'clock at night, Monday night. And his dad said, well, he's probably going to sleep by now. I mean, I really don't want to know. He said, I need to talk to him, and I need to talk to him right now. He said, okay, let's go over there. So he went over and talked. They talked for 2 hours. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the preacher's boy accepted Christ as Savior. He told that evangelist, I've never truly been saved. I've been working in the church. I've been serving the Lord in church, but I've been depending upon that as my salvation. And he got saved on Monday night. Tuesday morning, he's texting one of his friends and telling him that he got saved. And that friend said, well, he said, that's been my problem too. I'd like to get saved. He came over to church and talked to the pastor, and he got saved. And when they got the service Tuesday night, the young man sang in a group in the church, and he told his dad, before we sing, I'd like to give my testimony. And his dad said, okay. And so he stepped forward and gave his testimony. When he gave his testimony about the fact that for years, you know, everybody in that church knew him. He worked in that church, everybody knew him. But he said, all this time, I've never truly been born again, never truly been saved, but I got saved last night. And then, of course, people started weeping and crying. And they got up to sing their song, and then a person got up and came down the aisle and said, Pastor, I need to get right with God. And another person came down the aisle. They hadn't even got into the service hardly. And all during the song service, people are coming and getting right with God. And the preacher gets up to preach, and he said, listen, if God's working on your heart, even while I'm preaching, you come to this altar, get right with God. And people were coming as he was preaching the message, the whole service, and people were getting saved, others getting right with God, all during that service. Before the evening was over, 12 people had trusted Christ as Savior in that church. One lady said, I've been in this church for 40 years. She said, I came to the altar one time years ago, and somebody told me that they had a word of prayer and told me I was saved, but I never truly accepted Christ as my Savior. And I've been here for 40 years in this church, and I want to get saved. And she was born again, and they went out and got clothes and baptized that night, baptized 7 people that evening. The next day they came in, they have a school there at the church, came in the school, preacher said, I walked in and there was a teenage boy sitting in the hallway bawling with his head in his hands bawling. He said, what's the matter? He said, I need to get saved. And one after the other, I think the last count is 15 people saved. You know, here's what we need, here's what I'm saying. We need to see the power of God today. You see, He's still at work. He's still doing things today, and we need to see the power of God. There's been real revival break out there in Simcoe. Even the evangelist, they had a service Tuesday night, the evangelist had to leave. It's still going on. You know, praise God, I hope it continues. And I hope they see hundreds of people come to Christ. That's what we need to see today, the power of God. I want you to see some things this evening about the power of God. First of all is admission. You have to admit the fact that you lack the power you need. If you can't admit the fact that you don't see that power in your life, you're never going to be able to see it unless you admit that you don't have it. You lack the power. Are you a weak Christian? Is your faith weak? Sometimes we look at what's going on in our society and we look at things that the government is doing and we say, well, what can we do? I don't know where to turn. I tell you where we turn. We turn to God. That's where we turn. God has the power to change people's lives. How many prayers have you seen answered this week? Could you stand up tonight if we had time to give a testimony? I saw this prayer answered. I saw that prayer answered. Hey, listen, the power of God answers prayers. I thank the Lord that we've been dealing with a situation. My wife and I and our family, it's been a very, very tough situation. Very stressful on us. And we got a message, I think it was Friday evening, how God had answered some specific prayers for us. Praise God. I'm telling you, that lifts such a burden off of you, doesn't it? to see God answer prayer. But He can answer prayer. How many souls this year have you led to Jesus Christ yourself? How many have you been able to witness to and been able to see them get saved and come to Christ? Hey, that's why we're here on this earth. We're left here for a purpose and a reason, and that's to give the gospel to those that need to hear. Hey, there's plenty. There's plenty in our cities that need to hear. They're lost and on their way to hell. Every day, person after person is dying and going to hell. And it's our job to give them the gospel that they might be saved. Oh, listen, we need the power. Admit the fact that we're short on power and we need the power of God. It takes humility. It takes humility. You know what I heard? The pastor was telling me in Simcoe there about the revival, and he's one of the things that I heard is that the lady that had been in that church for 40 years, he said to her, well, why didn't you get saved sooner? She said, it was because of my pride. I was too afraid to admit it. One of the staff members, his wife, had never been scripturally baptized. What happened was, she made a profession of faith as a little girl, and then got baptized, but she knew she never really got saved, never really trusted Christ. So later on in her life, she trusted Christ, but had too much pride to admit that she needed to be baptized after salvation, and she never followed the Lord of baptism because of her pride. Hey, listen. It takes humility to admit the fact that we don't have the power we want to have or we need to have. You have to admit it. Admission. I want you to notice, secondly, it takes persuasion. It takes persuasion. Are you fully persuaded in your heart and in your life that God has the power that you want to see in your life? That God has the power that you need? Does God have the power? Absolutely. He's an all-powerful God. Look at the examples throughout Scripture. We could go back to the Old Testament. We could go through and see the mighty power of God and the miracles that God performed. I think of one of my favorite Bible characters is Daniel. And I could tell you so much about the life of Daniel, but what we know most about Daniel is when he's thrown into the lion's den, and those lions were supposed to eat him up. But God stopped them. When Daniel came out of that den of lions, think of the testimony that he had when such a great miracle happened in his life. I would imagine even the king, the Bible says, and everybody was ready to hear what Daniel had to say. Why? Because of the mighty working power of God. This book is full of the miracle working power of God. Over and over and over again, we see it happening. And we need to see it happen today in the society and day that we live in. We need to be persuaded that God can do it and trust Him by faith. Do you believe tonight that you can have that power? Is it available? It is available. God has that power. I want you to turn over, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Not only admission and persuasion, but also conversation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verses 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. I like how verse 14 says, knowing that He which raised up. Knowing this, confidence. I have confidence that what God says He can do. I'm fully persuaded in that. And I believe that what God says is right and true. And I am trusting Him. Are you fully persuaded? Are you talking, as the Bible says there, we believe and therefore we speak. Because of what I have in my heart, because like I've trusted Christ, there is something inside of me that I have to talk about. Do you remember when Peter and John, in the book of Acts, they were taken to prison and they were told, you can go out now, you can be free from prison, but don't dare say anything else about Jesus. And Peter and John said this, we cannot but speak of the name of Jesus. we can't keep our mouth shut. Hey, listen, that's the way God's people ought to be today. I can't keep my mouth shut. I have to talk about what Jesus has done for me. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to share it with somebody. That's the good news. Speak it. Give the Word of God. The job must be done. If the job's going to be done, who's going to do the job? Who's going to bring the gospel to Cambridge? Who's going to preach it? Hey, the job needs to be done. I thank God yesterday for the group of us that got on the bus and went out and put tracts and flyers and doors. We covered street after street after street yesterday. Praise God for those that went out. But you know, and it's great to come. It's good fellowship. We had a good time together and being out there and giving the gospel out and that kind of thing. But you know something? That ought to be for all of us. It ought to be on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. We ought to be giving the gospel out all the time. Take some of those tracts that are back on that track rack on the table there. Put them in your pocket. Take them with you. Hand them out to people. They need to hear the gospel. People need to be saved. When I pastored in Kitchener, when it came time for Oktoberfest, we had people on the streets passing out tracts all over the place. Hey, have a great day, you know, handing them out. Well, some people turned us down and wouldn't take them. That's fine. We give them to somebody else. I was standing there on the street corner one day. It was right at the corner of, I'm going to say, King and Frederick, I think it was. Right on the corner there, by Speaker's Corners. You know where Speaker's Corner? I was standing right in front of Speaker's Corners on the street there, and I was handing out tracts, and a guy walked up to me. He was dressed in his lederhosen, and he had a walkie-talkie on his side and a microphone up here and had his, you know, his funny-looking shirt on and all that. And so he came up to me, and he said, hey, he said, you're not allowed to be out here passing out tracts out here. You know, you're in front of my booth here, and I paid for this, and you're not allowed to be out here. I said, I'm standing on a public sidewalk in a public place. I'm allowed to be out here. I can pass out tracts out here. Oh, no, you can't. You can't do it. I said, oh, yes, I can. He said, well, I'll get a hold of the police. I said, go right ahead. Get a hold of the police. I'm allowed to be out here. So he walked off, took his microphone, started talking, and I'm passing out tracts, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I think I'm going to jail. Oh, no, what's going to happen here? I'm passing out tracts, and I thought, maybe I should turn and run. I mean, that thought came through my mind, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, here is this renegade American come up here, and he's going to be thrown in jail. Can you see the papers? Pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church, thrown in jail. Well, for witnessing, okay, I'll take that, you know. But anyways, I'm out there. Pretty soon, here he came back to me. He walked up to me, and he said, let me shake your hand. I'm like, okay, what are you going to put a handcuff on? And he said, you're right, I'm wrong. You're on a public place, on a public street, and you're allowed to stand out here and pass out tracts. I said, hey, I don't want to bother your business. I'm not here to try to bother your business. I don't want to do that. But I'm allowed to stand out here. This is still a free country. Amen? Praise God. I can do that. Okay, yeah, amen. Good. He said, fine. And he walked on his way. And I gave him a tract. But anyhow, hey, listen, you know, we were able to pass out thousands and thousands of tracts out there giving people the gospel. Do you know that some years later, there was another, the Multicultural Festival in downtown Kitchener. We used to have a booth set up there. We used to pass out tracts there. I don't know that if they still do it. They probably do. But I got a letter some years later from a man, and he said, I just wanted to write and tell you that my mother, I got saved and my family got saved, and we live in South Africa. And my mother, I can't remember what religion she was, but she got very angry at us for trusting Christ and going to church. And she got so frustrated, she decided to visit one of her, I think it was her sister, in Canada. And so she came to Canada to get away from us because of our witnessing. She came to Canada, and she was walking in a park one day in the Multicultural Festival. And she was handed a gospel tract, and it has your church name on it. And he said, when my mom came back home, she had that little pamphlet in her hand. And she said, I got handed this at a park in Kitchener, Ontario. He said, well, Mom, did you read it? And she said, no, I didn't. He said, you need to read that, Mom. He said, she read that, and then she called me later on the phone, and she said, I want to go to church with you tomorrow. And she trusted Christ as her Savior. Hey, you never know. Amen? You never know. God has a job for us to do. God's power can work if we just trust Him by faith. You see, the last point of my message is this, action. Faith is an action word. When you act by faith, it's an action word. Turn over to Luke chapter 24. The book of Luke chapter 24 and verse number 45. Luke 24 and verse number 45. Here's what the Bible says. Luke 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Jesus told his disciples, the power is going to come. You be in Jerusalem, the power is going to come. These disciples that saw their Savior, their Lord, crucified upon a cross, and then saw Him rise again from the dead, were there together, and when the Holy Spirit's power came upon them, they went out in the streets of Jerusalem and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and saw 3,000 souls get saved. That's the power of God. That's the power we need to see. Be a person of faith. Be a person of action. Step out and trust God. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. My friend, it's Jesus that went to that cross for you. It's Jesus that gave His life for you and shed His blood for you so that you might be saved. It's only the blood of Christ that washes away the sin of the world. And you put your faith and trust in Him, you can be born again. And He will, listen, He'll give you a new life. That's a picture of the power of God. Christian, maybe you here tonight, do you have that power? Do you desire to see it in your life, in your ministry, and what you're doing for God? Hey, you can see that power by trusting Him by faith and your faith growing and seeing God work in your life. That's what we need to see today. That's what's going to bring true revival. Is seeing the power of God in our lives. Do you have that power?